What you using, that push your board a little bit? Say hello, Mary.
All right.
Good morning, sir. What is your name, sir?
My name's Grant Wakers.
I believe that business gentleman, Miss, you're conducting this, or Miss Rittenhouse will conduct your hearing, sir, in just a moment.
How are you guys doing today?
Good, sir.
Great, and how are you doing today, sir?
Good, you guys.
This is a beautiful day, sir.
Yeah, and it's a nice day outside over here.
Yes, sir.
Same here.
Could be better, though.
Yes, sir.
All right, sir, can you please state your name and your ABC number for the record?
Grant Bradley Wakers, 273871.
All right, good morning, thank you. You're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for a revocation hearing regarding the two allegations listed on your warrant of arrest. You should have been given a form notifying you about this hearing, and I see that you signed your form on October 31st. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. And on that form, there's a list of your hearing rights, and one of those is that you could hire at your expense a lawyer to represent you. I don't see a lawyer with you. Are you representing yourself today?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. I'd like to introduce you to the members of the board conducting the hearing today. And if you look on the video screen, way down the other end of the bench from me is the Honorable David Neal. Then right next to him is the Honorable Michael Johnson. Right in the center of the bench, we have our board chairman, the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright. Right next to me, the Honorable Louis Quinones. And my name is Gail Rittenhouse. I'll be the panel chair for your hearing today. Also with us in the room is our community corrections officer there. You can see him now, Mr. Grady, and he's representing the Department of Corrections as well as your parole officer in this hearing. Okay, so before we get started, I need to swear both you and Mr. Grady in. So Mr. Wakehorse and Mr. Grady, do you solemnly swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God, and do you so affirm?
Yes, I do.
Thank you.
I do.
Okay, Mr. Wakehorse, we conduct these hearings in two phases. And in phase one, we determine if you violated the conditions of community supervision. And in phase two, we determine if your supervision should be reinstated or revoked. So for phase one, I'm going to read these allegations from your warrant. And as I read each one to you, I need you to tell me if it's true or false. If you believe it's false, we'll get some testimony from the Department of Corrections about it. And then the board will make the determination as to whether you violated your conditions. So do you understand the process?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, good. Thank you. So we'll start phase one of your hearing now. And here's allegation number one from the warrant. And it is that you have violated the conditions of supervision and lapsed or probably about to lapse into criminal ways or company by violating condition number 5, demonstrated by your engagement in physically assaultive behavior directed towards community corrections officer Wade at approximately 14:58 hours on October 6, 2017 in the Pima Reentry Center vehicle Sallyport. Mr. Wakehorse, is that true or false?
That's true.
Okay. And allegation number 2 is that you were in violation of condition number 7, use of alcohol, as demonstrated by your use of alcohol on October 6, 2017, for the breathalyzer test results of blood alcohol content 0.222 at approximately 14:35 hours, and of blood alcohol content 0.237 at approximately 14:50 hours. Mr. Bigwell, is this true or false?
That's true.
Okay, thank you, sir. Based on Mr. Wakehorse's admission, I move to find him delinquent as he violated the terms and conditions of his supervision and may have lapsed or had lapsed into criminal ways or company.
Second.
Agree.
Thank you. Hold on just one second, Mr. Wakehorse. I'll be right back with you. Okay, so we can now move into phase two of your hearing, sir. And before we start into that, we're going to get some information from Mr. Grady, just some background information about your case and your supervision. So just hang on the line there with us, and we'll be right back with you. Okay, Mr. Grady?
Mr. Rickhorst was released from DLC on September 28th of 2017. He was arrested on October 6th of 2017 by parole staff. He has no new charges. He was returned back to DLC on October 6th of 2017. He has a CSED of January 1st of 2018 that reflects zero abscondes. His current conviction, 2016, resisting arrest, 1 year. Prior convictions, 2012, burglary, second degree, 1 year and 6 months. 2012, drug paraphernalia violation, 1 year. 2015, aggravated assault, 1 year, 6 months. 2015, aggravated assault, 1 year, 6 months. 2015, drug paraphernalia violation, 6 months. 2015, aggravated assault, 6 months. He has 4 terms of DLC. His CUIR scores are 4-4, mental health scores are 2, substance abuse scores are 3. Gang information, he's a suspect, Danae Pride, Eastside Blood Criminal Street Gang. Prior term of supervision, 2013, TIS release, completed 2 months. Disciplinary violations are moderate with drugs, alcohol, and violence noted. Other arrests, 2003, sexual conduct with a minor, Arizona juvenile detention. 2004, drug paraphernalia violation, Arizona juvenile probation. Domestic violence, Arizona misdemeanor conviction. 2013, aggravated assault, Arizona pending charges. 2013, aggravated assault, Arizona felony conviction. 2014, resisting arrest, Arizona felony conviction, probation. He's got a community risk score of G8V9, and he is not registerable, not notifiable, SVP review.
Thank you, Mr. Grady. Can I just ask you on, there was a 2013 arrest that was aggravated assault and said pending charges from 2013?
Yeah, I got that too.
I'm thinking they were, yeah, that's what it says.
Okay, that's unusual. And then, of course, there's another one in 2013 that says felony conviction.
Yes.
So I'm wondering if that's the same one. It could be. Could be the same thing. Okay, all right. Thank you, Mr. Grady. And back to you, Mr. Rickhorst. It looks like you were living at, you were living at the Pima Reentry Center and nowhere else on the supervision? That's the only place you lived?
Yes. I was trying to get the payments.
Okay.
I got sent out this way.
Okay, so you wanted to get back to me. There's a statement here that says you also wanted to request an address in the Gray Mountain area. Was that still, you were still trying to pursue that? Okay.
Yeah, that's with my mother.
Okay, that would be
with my mother.
Got it, okay. And then, so you want to, you also want to get to Phoenix.
Well, as of right now, I'm trying to get into this Native American Connections down in Phoenix.
Okay.
I'm trying to address this alcohol problem that I've got, and this place is called Latino Wellness Center. It's also a residential fitness center. And me and CEO Rick and Patty have been trying to give me a bed set up, and I just, you know, I take full responsibility for everything that has happened and violations. Yeah, I was highly intoxicated and inebriated, but I accept full responsibility for my actions. You know,
well, sir, that the program that you're talking about is, from what we hear, is a very excellent program. So that would be a good thing for you to continue to pursue. We've heard nothing but good about that program. So good move there.
Yeah.
Have you been, were you employed at all, or what do you do? What's your profession?
Well, I'm a construction worker.
Okay.
I'm a worker and a welder.
Mm-hmm.
My plan was supposed to come back to Phoenix, because I got a support over there for my kids and my family. But I got no people out here in Tucson, and
okay.
I just, well, I was waiting 10, 15 days, hopefully to get that transferred, but here I am, I violated.
Okay, so what happened when you, the day that you violated, what was going on?
Well, you know, being an alcoholic and a drug addict, you know, it's, when I got out, you know, it just a lot of things, you know, came at me real fast, you know. And it's mostly stuff that happened with my sister, my older sister and stuff. I took it pretty hard, you know. Growing up younger, you know, I was always neglected and abandoned, abused, you know. And it's just, you know, I'm real close to my sisters, and when I caught news of what happened to her, it was a tragic thing. It was just hard, you know, and me not having people out here, not knowing nobody out here, you know, I did go to ask the counselors over there for help to see, you know, they can help me with, so I can get clothes and vouchers and stuff like that, mm-hmm. transportation. But it seems like I wasn't trying to get any help from nobody, you know, and I took all that, you know, pretty, you know, I just, you know, took a shortcut and went back to my old coping skills and drank too much and blacked out.
So where did you get the alcohol that day?
I purchased it myself.
Okay. Because that's just a release center, right? You come and go as you please down there.
Yeah, well, they gave me a curfew from 6 in the morning to 1 in the afternoon. And, you know, just me being an alcoholic and drug addict, that was my way of trying to deal with the situation.
Okay.
And it came out early, you know, on my side. And that happens to happen with my old record. You know, as you guys can see, I have a sense of a record, but all that was due to my alcohol abuse and drug abuse.
What drug do you use, sir? What drug?
Marijuana.
Okay, anything else?
Marijuana and alcohol.
Marijuana and alcohol, okay.
Yeah, those are my main ones. But I've played around with other drugs too, but it's not really my thing, I guess.
Were your other, I see you have some other arrests, some aggravated assault in the past, I see domestic violence, and resisting arrest. Were those all related to alcohol or marijuana use?
Yes, all that was alcohol related. You know, everything that I've been arrested for was due to my inebriated acts, and I'm still making poor decisions. You know, while I've been back, I've put myself into a 12-step meeting, AA, Alcoholics Anonymous.
Okay, good.
I'm trying to take the necessary steps to change my life, you know, to be a better father to my kids and my nephews. And you see, I'm the only male figure in my family besides my nephews. And my mom's sick, you know, she has arthritis, she has colon cancer. And it's just, you know, me being away for the last few years, you know, it's just...
Well, it's important for you to be a role model. How many kids do you have?
I got three. I got two daughters and a son. And two of them live in Phoenix with their mother, and the other one's in Phoenix with their mother.
Okay. All right.
And I've been incarcerated this whole time. My family is more, you know, supportive than anything. They understand that I have a problem with my alcoholism, and they're in Flagstaff and Page, so they couldn't make it, you know, and they're really upset with me right now. And I don't blame them. This is a cycle, you know.
Right.
I get out and I drink and I black out and I wind myself back up partially. And I was hoping that if possible, that if I can get this, if the board of tenancy approves, if I can get approved to go over here for my last 30 days and continue to finish it, because I know and believe that once I'm done, all this is just going to go over my head, and I'm afraid of returning to custody because I am a high-risk red offender, you know.
Right.
And it's real difficult, you know, being a Native American and growing up the way I've grown up, you know, throughout the childhood tribulation of a delinquent. It's just, I don't know how to cope with things.
Mm-hmm. You know? And you know that the alcohol is going to be a lifetime issue for you. I mean, that's just not something you get over. You have to work at that every day. So
Yeah, it is a hard problem, as you guys can see in my disciplinary yards that I've got, you know, tickets for making a prison alcohol. I have a big problem, and I really do want to address this, you know.
But lots of people learn how to deal with it and do it, and I know you can too. You just have to get the right foundation. So let me see if my fellow board members here, Mr. Quinones, has a question.
Thank you, Ms. Rittenhouse. Mr. Bickers?
Yes, sir.
I just have a follow-up question. You've been very honest with the board, and frankly, pretty pleasant and polite. Yet you have quite a history of assault, I guess, when you were under the influence of alcohol and marijuana. Have you had violent outbursts when you smoked marijuana as well?
No, I don't. That one is more like a no. When I drink alcohol, I can't just have one, as I can see now, you know. And I'm familiar with the program, you know, and one is too many, a thousand is never enough. So once I get that third drink, it's just all bad, you know. But when I smoke marijuana, it's more of a calming, you know. I have mental behavioral issues with bipolar and the chronic depression, and that one's more like a mellow, keep you relaxed, you know.
Thank you for being honest, and you know, I'm rooting for you. You sound very pleasant before this board, and I just get this feeling that if you could put the alcoholism behind you and work on that, you know, you still have a lot of life ahead of you, and you sound like you have a tremendous amount of potential.
Thank you.
Any other questions from board members? All right, Mr. Mayhorse, the board is just about to the end of your hearing here, but we want to give you an opportunity to make a final statement. Anything else that you haven't told us that you want us to know?
Like I was saying, I got this paper here from me and Patty. I've been trying to establish a housing for this place. We have had communication with them.
Uh-huh.
And I'm trying to get a hold of my parents so I can get my certificate of Indian blood.
Okay.
So I can cover the program, but it's difficult, you know, because we're not really too familiar with how things are. I just, you know, really hope that I can address this, because like I said, I'm afraid that it's just going to be a continuous cycle. And, you know, I just want to be a better role model for my kids and nephews and parents, and just become a more productive member of society, you know, and put all this behind me and just go forward with my life, you know. I mean, I understand it's just a month from now, but being in this type of environment and a maximum security guard, it's a struggle to maintain. And I do have a lot of integrity to maintain sobriety and positivity, but it sometimes, you know, the environment just gets a hold of me, and not have communication with my kids and my family. It's just things build up, you know. And I just hope that I can get this, and if this bed is available, you know, I can get released over there instead of back to the street, you know, to go over here and continue on and address my alcoholism, you know.
Okay, all right, thank you very much, Mr. Bickers. The board is going to go into discussion. We operate under the open meeting law, so everything, we haven't discussed your case before right now, and we do it in public. So we'll go into discussion, and all I'd ask is that you just stay on the phone, just remain quiet, and we'll be right back with you, okay?
Okay.
All right, hold on, and we'll be right back to you. The board is now in discussion. Mr. Bickhorse has a pretty fairly extensive criminal career with 4 terms in the department. He does have a period of community supervision in the past that he completed, a short period. he seems very sincere about addressing his alcohol issue, as his most of his criminal history has been around alcohol. He has said to us that he is one of the oldest male role model figures in his family, and I think he feels some responsibility to fulfill that role well and not just be in prison and unavailable to help raise his kids and his nephews and nieces, if he has any. He does have a skill. He says he's an iron worker and a welder, so probably employment will not be an issue. His problem is alcohol, and he makes no bones about it, and it's pretty evident looking at his history. Just based on his sincerity and recognizing that the board has no ability to place somebody, I think his best option would be able to go into some kind of treatment for the remainder of his sentence, which is January 1st, I believe. Yes, January 1st. So they got another month, and that could give him kind of a head start with supervision. But I'm open to input from my fellow board members. Mr. Johnson?
I agree. I think that definitely that some type of treatment program that he needs to be in. As concerned, I mean, he has a program that appears to be a good program that he's working on getting into. He's waiting to get some paperwork from his family in order to get in that program, which is a program for Native Americans, if I understand right. What he was actually saying, he has about maybe a month and a half left on before he's actually. I don't know if that's enough time to get him into a different program. However, I have a little bit of concern that I definitely in agreement that he needs to be in the program, but this kind of a short period of time that he has left, if he could work with his family to get enrolled in that program, he could get into that program without being on parole or probation, and that's kind of what he wants to do. But there's a problem with his body behavior once he starts drinking. I mean, he was very physically assaulted when he refused to get into the vehicle, in the transport vehicle, and they had to take him down. Matter of fact, they wound up having to call a transport van in order to take him. So, you know, he's there, he's not drinking, he's not been bothered, he has a good mind about himself. I think if we could work on getting into that program that he has, and he showed us the paperwork on getting into that program in January, then he'll be released. He won't be on parole. He won't be on any community supervision, and he could get in that program. He said that his parents aren't really familiar with how the process works, so it may take him a few weeks or so to get all the paperwork necessary. But hopefully, while he's there, he can get all the paperwork, and when he's released, you know, on his own, he could be released and sign into that program if he has all the proper paperwork that he actually needs. But I'm in agreement that he definitely needs to be in a program, just that that would probably be the best program that he could actually get in, which would be really directed at what his alcohol needs are.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. And you raise a good point with the timing of it. I'm just not sure. It really is only 34 days, and I don't know if that's enough time to get word to his parents, get whatever paperwork, his birth certificate or registry or whatever down here. But if they started working on that now, they could have it, and he could walk in the door of that place on January 1st or 2nd. And really have a place to go in Phoenix where he can be with near his kids. Any other comments from the board?
I agree, Madam Chair. I think that if he could just stay in for the next, what you said, 34 days and remain clean and work with his CO3 as well as with his family, so that he could get in this Native American connection, then hopefully he would also prepare himself mentally not to use alcohol or marijuana. I think that's the big challenge that he has, and if he can prepare himself psychologically, say, I'm not going to use, and let me get in this program, then he can be that productive citizen, you know. And what he stated, I believe he's correct, hopefully he's correct, you know, he's the role model for his family, because it's my understanding, I'm not Native American, but Native Americans, they believe in their males, and since he's the oldest one and the only one aside from his nephew and his young son, the only males, therefore he can, he really needs to just get rid of that alcohol habit and that aggression that he has, and then he can really make a big difference for his family in the future. Therefore, I guess I said all that to say that I think it would be best for him just to complete those 34 days, and hopefully he can make those contacts with his CO3 and his family and move forward.
All right, thank you, Dr. Wright. I'm going to make a motion then based in the information in warrant number 2017W3440, in our discussion with Mr. Bighorst, I move to revoke his community supervision, as Mr. Bighorst was delinquent, violated the terms and conditions of supervision, and had lapsed or was about to lapse into criminal ways of company, and specifically by consuming alcohol and becoming assaultive and combative to the point that they had to get a transport van for him. And that is my motion.
I agree. I mean, I second.
Agree.
Thank you. All right, Mr. Bighorst, you were our discussion, and we're really concerned that the 34 days that are left is not really enough time for you to get the paperwork, get the approval from the Native American Connections location treatment, which is excellent, and we really encourage you to go for that. But if you could use these 34 days to get that all set up, get everything all arranged, so you get the paperwork from your parents, have your CO3, make calls for you, so everything's all set up so that you can pretty much walk in the door. But we really want you to succeed, and you know in your heart, and we know, that the real problem is the alcohol. And as Dr. Wright said, you have to be the one that makes up your mind. And one of the things you learn in treatment is you learn coping skills. You learn, if I start to think I want to use alcohol, I'm going to do this instead. And there's a thought process you go through to help you not use as kind of a crutch to handle whatever is facing you. So we know you can do it. I mean, you have said things today that make us believe you can do it. So we wish you the best. I'm sorry?
If I may, I want to tell you guys that Patty and I already have had communication with the Latina and Wellness Center, and my people work has already been established. And I've been working on this for the last month, and it's a 70 bed residential treatment center, and with that communication, you just told me right now what tribe I was put under, and we have had communication. And he emails them every day, I guess, from what he told me. Well, Compatty has more verification of all that, you know.
Okay, well, we're very glad that you're going to go there. That is a good thing for you. Very best wishes to you. We hope that you're successful there. And thank you very much for being so respectful in this hearing. You've been very, very pleasant. And we appreciate it. If you wouldn't mind, give the phone back to your CO3 there, and your hearing is over, sir. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.